Paris investigation.
Evidence Al-Qaeda paid for the attack.
Remembering the victims. In France and Israel. Military social sites hacked.
This did not breach classified systems.
Ohio State wins college football crown. Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. There are new developments in the aftermath of last week's deadly terror attacks in Paris, an arrest, and new information about the attackers. We begin with CBS's Heather Bosch.
Sources tell CBS News one of the brothers blamed in the Charlie Hebdo killings received $20,000 from Al-Qaeda in Yemen back in 2011 to fund the attack. Authorities in Bulgaria say they've arrested a Frenchman who may have ties to one of those brothers. Investigators have been looking for the common-law wife of Amari Coulibaly, who opened fire at a Jewish market. But cell phone records indicate on the day of the attack, Hayat Boumediene slipped into Syria from Turkey. In France, a manhunt continues for six other members of a terror cell, and there were ceremonies today for the officers killed in the attacks. CBS's Vicky Barker has more.
A solemn ceremony for the three police officers slain in last week's attacks. President François Hollande placing France's highest honor, the Legion of Honor, on each flag-draped coffin, saying through an interpreter,
"They shared one ideal, which is to serve the Republic."
The next issue of Charlie Hebdo is out tomorrow, exactly 1 week after the massacre. The cover shows a weeping Prophet Muhammad holding a sign, "Je suis Charlie." The weekly normally sells 60,000 copies. This week's print run is 3 million.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem, where funerals were held today for four French Jews killed in Friday's attack on the kosher supermarket. The bodies of the victims were wrapped in prayer shawls in front of a large Israeli flag. Philippe was a perfect boy, his mother said in a eulogy. He always put others first. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the Islamic terrorists are the enemies of all mankind.
The military is looking into yesterday's hack attack that hit U.S. Central Command social sites. CBS's Cammie McCormick has the latest.
The CENTCOM Twitter site is back up this morning with a message, "We're back." CENTCOM is calling the attack cyber vandalism, but the incident has raised questions about the security of these social media sites the Defense Department uses to get its message out. The group that took over the Twitter site yesterday posted names and phone numbers of military commanders and threats to American soldiers to, quote, "watch your back." While the Pentagon says no classified information was released, the FBI is now investigating what it calls the intrusion.
Divers in the Java Sea have been able to retrieve the second black box from Asia Air 8501. CBS News transportation safety analyst Mark Rosenker says the cockpit voice recorder could have valuable information about last month's crash.
You're going to hear if the aircraft is being pelted, say, by hail. You'll also hear if the engines are operating. You'll hear all kinds of noises within the cockpit, perhaps even any type of warnings, either an overspeed or a stall warning.
162 people died in the crash. 48 bodies have been found so far. President Obama meets today with congressional leaders from both parties. CBS's Pam Coulter is in Washington.
Republican leaders come to the meeting with a stronger hand now that they control both houses of Congress. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said the disastrous election for the Democrats shows it's the president who needs to compromise. But the president showing little sign of that, pledging to veto quite a few of the bills Congress plans to send him.
That would include the Keystone Pipeline bill, which has passed the House, and Democrats in the Senate hope to make some changes before there's a vote. The House plans to vote today on a bill that would rework some parts of the 2010 financial overhaul law. It would give American banks an extra 2 years to make sure their holdings meet the terms of the Volcker Rule, which aims to limit risk. Some trouble for morning commuters in New York City and Washington. An early morning fire labeled suspicious near Penn Station in New York is causing subway delays. In D.C., still delays this morning after an electrical problem sent smoke yesterday afternoon into a metro station.
Who has water?
One person died. Others were sickened.
Just got really bad. Everybody was, people were throwing up. I know one lady passed out.
Government investigators are looking into it. Police in Columbus, Ohio, made arrests and used tear gas to disperse crowds celebrating last night's win by Ohio State over Oregon to take college football's national title. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
It was historic, the first national championship game under the new playoff format, and Ohio State turned it into a blowout.
Greatest night, go Buckeyes! Ah, we won!
The Buckeyes, using a third-string quarterback because of injuries, easily beat Oregon to win their first title since 2002. The star of the game was a 19-year-old running back.
Up the middle, number four!
Ezekiel Elliott scored not one, not two, not three, but four touchdowns. For Ohio State coach Urban Meyer, he became just the second coach to win championships at two different schools.
It's almost surreal.
Steve Futterman, CBS News at the National Championship in Arlington, Texas.
Well, now to South Carolina and the mistrial in the case of a white police chief charged in the shooting death of a black man.
Prosecutor David Pasco says the hung jury was leaning 9-3 to convict former small-town white police chief Richard Combs of either murder or manslaughter in the fatal shooting of unarmed African-American Bernard Bailey.
We're going to move forward. I saw no reason to dismiss these charges, and now I've got nine jurors who have told me that this man should have been convicted. So we're going to eventually move forward.
Defense lawyers say Combs was acting in self-defense during a confrontation. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Orangeburg, South Carolina.
An Atlanta judge hears arguments today over who owns Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s Bible and Nobel Peace Prize medal. The case has divided the late civil rights leader's children, his two sons on one side, his daughter Bernice on the other. She has fought their efforts to sell the items.
These items are reflective of the heart and soul of who my father was and what he represented. There are some things you don't sell or sell out for.
The brothers control the King estate and want to sell to a private buyer. More measles cases have been linked to visits to Disney parks in California. CBS's Heather Bosch.
Seven more people have become ill, bringing the total in this measles outbreak to 26. Most had visited Disneyland or Disney California Adventure last month, or they likely had contact with someone who was infected there. Dr. Helene Calve.
The real difficult thing with measles is you become infectious 4 days before the rash starts.
So you can spread the disease before you know you have it. Most of the people who became ill had not been vaccinated against measles. Heather Bosch, CBS News.
We're saddened here at CBS News by the death of one of our friends, Lou Miliano.
Talking with a fireman here who witnessed it, he says they were doing routine removal, lifted up a sheet of tin, and there were two of his brothers. Firemen.
That's Lou's work right after 9/11. He covered stories here and overseas in his long career and used natural sound to bring his reports alive like nobody else. Lou Miliano battled cancer recently. He was 67. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kaif in CBS News.